of people are feeling anxious and a bit stressed, maybe even fearful. Nobody ever chooses hard seasons.
Can't wait to go to work. Can't wait till we gather again. When will we get to eat at Waffle Shop and go to a stinking Penn State football game? I just want to go to church and send my kids back to school.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it.
God has placed the world into a time of transition. And
what if this is an opportunity like we haven't had maybe in decades, maybe forever?
So welcome, especially welcome to those of you from Unity Church of Jesus Christ. It is an honor and a privilege for us to be together this weekend. This whole thing really started as just a thought between Harold and I of just having a conversation, not even necessarily a joint virtual worship service, but once the people of Unity and Calvary heard about it and started getting involved, it morphed into this. But Harold and I are just happy to be with you. I am happy to be with you this weekend to have this conversation. So,
yeah, I want to welcome our Unity family and our brothers and sisters from Calvary and all who may take part and join in with this virtual service. I think the conversation, as opposed to a regular sermon, the conversation that Dan and I are going to have today, I think, is very important for the body of Christ at this time. And so we're glad that you're joining us, and we pray that you will be both challenged and ministered to during this time. God bless you.
It's great to be together, Harold. Last time we were together in a setting like this was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Right? 2019. As we did the Racial Unity series together. Yeah. If I remember right, I gave you a gift of a sweater vest. I'm a little bit disappointed that you're not wearing it.
I have to confess, I don't know where it is.
Well, it's probably good. It didn't fit you very well, if I remember right. Yeah. Your height is a little bit more than mine, and my girth is a little bit more than yours.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really good to be together. Like I said a moment ago, when all this, blew up again, I just thought it would be great for people from Calvary. This is really what I was thinking. It would be really good for people from Calvary to hear your voice and to just hear what's on your heart. And so that began, this thought of let's get together and have a conversation, which morphed into a joint virtual worship service. But I want to start out by asking the question, and we can both kind of jump in, but asking you the question, what is it that brings us here to this moment? Personally, church-wise, obviously the events of the day, but for you, what is it that brings you here to this moment?
Yeah. What brings me, obviously, here in our nation, but we also have to think about this locally.
Yeah.
The issue of systemic, historic and current systemic racism in our country, which includes our community, is an important topic. But for me, is an extremely important, not just from the context of the world, and I would put in meant most respectfully to those who do not know the love of Jesus yet.
Yeah.
But what anchors my heart is that through the work of our Lord Jesus, the impact that we, the body of Christ, are meant to make in the world.
Yeah.
The fact that through Christ, if we look in Revelations 5:9, Revelations 7:9, that he views us as a family.
Yeah.
He views the body of Christ as a family. John, first chapter, and John, and verse 12, he talks about everyone who, and he says, everyone who would receive our Lord Jesus would become God's children.
Yeah.
And so one factor in my mind is that we are the children of God. The other factor is connected to that. We are the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ in the earth. And we are meant to impact the world. And so what really is stirring my heart is the lack of our impact.
Yeah.
The lack of our impact into the world in regards to the issue of systemic racism, bigotry, and bias.
Yeah.
Understanding that these are sins. And as sin, the true answer is Jesus Christ. And us in him are that answer to the world.
Yeah.
And I have more to say, but I can get going. So I do have some other things on my heart in regards to that, but I want to hear your heart as well.
Yeah. I mean, part of what brings me to this moment is, and really it ties into what you're saying in terms of family is relationship. You know, I think, a lot of people at Calvary and Unity know this, but, some joining us this weekend won't know it, that our relationship goes back quite a ways. You know, I've been here in State College for 26 years. You've been here longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been connected for 24, 25 of those years. And you know, you've been an important part of my life personally, an important part of our church, important part of the community. And for me personally, you know, even in more recent history, what brings me here relationally is just the stories. You know, I think hearing your story, Sharon's story of other folks at Unity, story of our brothers and sisters of color here at Calvary and other places. I mean, that's part of it for me. That's been part of my own personal journey. And then part of my journey also, and this goes back to when we did the joint racial unity series. Coming out of that, we had some action steps for people. And one of the things that I took on was I just said, I need to read more. I need to read more black authors. I need to read more about the history of the church. And one of the books that I read was Jamar Tisby's The Color of Compromise, where he talks about the role of the church, you know, and not so much what the church did wrong. I mean, that's in there too, but a number of places where the church throughout history could have made a different choice, could have stepped forward. And in his mind, and in my mind, as I read his arguments, his mind could have changed the course of history when it comes to this issue. And yet we shrank back and you know, that breaks my heart, but it also gives me hope. You know, I think for both of us, our hope is in what God can do, will do, what Jesus wants to do through his church. I mean, there's still hope in that, even though the white church has been absent too many times. But you know, my relationship with you, it was a joy, an honor too, but really a joy to join with you, your family. Last week, I think it was for the birthday Zoom party for Sharon, and just to see your family in action, man, that was a lot of. I mean, it went a little bit longer than I knew it would go longer than you advertised, but it went a little bit long.
Yeah.
But man, it was so much fun to see your. I very much respect you and Sharon and your family, and so that, you know, our friendship is part of what brings me here. And just a desire to see the kingdom of God thrive.
Yeah.
You know, my conviction, and this is part of what drew us together, you know, 20, whatever it was, 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, was just this conviction that the church in Central PA, that the kingdom needs unity to thrive, for everything to happen here in this region that God wants to happen. You know, that's been part of a driver for me. And then probably finally, you know, for me, the thing that brings me here, I mean, I've talked to you a little bit about this, but a couple of weeks ago, my third granddaughter, Maisie, was born. And so Lynn and I were in Minnesota when George Floyd was killed. And it was on the same exact day that he was killed that Maisie was born. And before I came home, I went down to the corner of 38th and Chicago where George Floyd was killed. Now since last Sunday, there have been revival meetings, evangelistic meetings taking place on that corner in that intersection, people getting baptized in the streets. I mean, it's kind of cool. But I went down and prayed, and just one of the things God put on my heart is just that the hope and the prayer that that my kids and grandkids and your kids and grandkids would grow up in a better world, and not just a better world, in a better church. And you know, we both have that conviction that the world can't be better if the church doesn't get better.
Right.
But last week in our sermon here at Calvary, I quoted you, but I wasn't realizing or thinking or remembering that you were quoting Pastor Vernon. But you know, just that reality that if the church doesn't get this right, then how in the world can we expect the rest of the world to get it right?
Yeah, I agree. I want to echo the value that I have for our relationship, and how God has just given the two of us wonderful grace to work together.
Yeah.
A great respect for each other, but not just the respect, the love for each other.
Yeah.
And I value that relationship. And I think our relationship helps set the platform for us to be able to begin to have conversations that will both make us better, but also impact the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And as you know, our dream and my dream is to see the body of Christ. And my focus today is somewhat narrowed, and it's a reality. Our Lord Jesus teaches us about us always speaking in love. Let everything be done in love, but also in speaking truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to speak truth into reality. So if I were going to be honest today, I want to speak, as I mentioned earlier and alluded to earlier, our Heavenly Father sees us, the church, the body of Christ, as one family.
Yeah.
He celebrates us as one family. He does not, as some people mistakenly say, I don't see colors. Well, I want us to know that our Heavenly Father does. He sees us that way because he made us differently and unique on purpose.
He's not colorblind.
No, he's not. He celebrates every ethnicity, every color, every race. He celebrates it. And he sees us as one family.
Yeah.
The challenge that we deal with, and as I was getting ready to say a moment ago, I'm narrowing my conversation a little bit today because I want to, in some ways, primarily address you, my white brothers and sisters. Mm. I want to address that aspect of the body of Christ because, as you mentioned, we want our children to grow up in a better world. Well, for black people and other peoples of color who are wrestling generationally, and for black people for over 400 years with the issues of systemic racism, that's a hope that has gone from generation to generation.
Yeah.
It is, three words come to my mind quickly. Those three words are systemic abuse and post-traumatic stress disorder or syndrome. And they come to my mind because systemic means, in its one definition, something that is pervasive and affects all areas of life or an organism or whatever. And then abuse, as we know in our world, we've come to equate it to, you know, that cruelty, that verbal, physical, sexual, or whatever kind of cruelty and harshness that comes at a person. And we've kind of connected to things like physical, verbal, and sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And then if we look at post-traumatic stress, we've come really to understand that really as it relates to those who've been in traumatic situations like war. We really begin to understand it. Those who have coming back from places like all the way back to Vietnam and beyond, and currently looking at even in the Middle East. But recognizing in my heart for myself and my fellow brothers and sisters who are black, but also other people who are other peoples of color, we're dealing with racial abuse.
Yeah.
And racial abuse that is generational and systemic in such a way that it has caused in our communities a post-traumatic stress ongoing.
Yeah.
And how we think, how we go about life. And the challenge of that is when we come home to our family. Mm. And family is meant to be a place of support. And the challenge is when we come home to our family, where you're supposed to get that uplifting, nurturing, and healing. We have not found that by and large. I want to applaud white brothers and sisters in Christ. Like we said earlier, I believe this is a Christ today, looking at the world, but coming inside the house, us as God's family, that as we look inside, I want to applaud white brothers and sisters who have let the Lord touch your heart to see that this is an issue that we need to take up as the whole church.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as you mentioned, I think historically, I think we need to wrestle, not in the point of having guilt trips. This conversation today is not about having guilt trips and condemnation. It's about coming to grips with a reality and a calling that our Father has on our lives.
Yeah.
And a calling in this conversation to a specific area, and that is dealing with both inside our own hearts and walls with the issues of race. But then as we allow God to touch our hearts, looking out to have an impact on the world.
Yeah.
And so I think as I'm sharing this and hoping and trying to be succinct, I want to challenge my white brothers and sisters who don't see this yet.
Hmm.
What do we do with the fact that God calls us family?
Yeah.
In the world, we say, and it is a true point, that peoples of color, we need allies.
Hmm.
Well, in the body of Christ, I want to say it a little bit differently. White brothers and sisters, we need our family.
Yeah.
We need you. We need you to stand up and to begin to say, to come alongside of us. We don't need conversations that begin to say, well, what did George Floyd or maybe Ahmaud Arbery or some other victim, Breonna Taylor, and on, and not just where deaths are the outcome, but just aggressions and microaggressions. We need you to, instead of saying, well, they must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm reminded in I think, a great passage of Scripture. And I'm gonna zero myself in, but a great passage of Scripture that speaks to how we are supposed to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 13, we are called one body.
Yeah.
We're called one body. And then verse 25 and 26. And I want to read that for a second. It says in verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body. Mm. But here's the part I really want to hone in on. But that the members may have the same care for one another. And then in verse 26, this is the mindset we need to have. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it.
Yeah.
If one member is honored, all the members are honored with it or rejoice with it. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yeah.
Weep. Cry, weep with those who weep. And that context, you know, again, even as we are taught, we are to be our brother's keeper.
Yeah.
Well, here's the challenge. I think black people feel like in the body of Christ, we don't see that happening.
Yeah.
In the larger scope. And I think other peoples of color who have experienced racism and bias may say the same. And I am today wanting to passionately, and not I've been very emotional these last couple of weeks. I want to passionately exhort and challenge my white brothers and sisters to look at those scriptures.
Yeah.
And embrace those scriptures.
Yeah.
To be challenged, not just in the moment that we are walking through,
yeah.
but to see, truly see, through the power of the living God, not a power, if it were just what we bring to the table, even in our own inconsistency.
Yeah.
I think this is obvious that we need the grace of God in order to see a change. This is not something that we can do. And
own.
I understand how we can change work, but we have enough laws.
Sure, sure.
We currently have enough uproar, but it takes more than that.
Yeah.
It takes the power of the living God working in and through us, but it also takes our being open to that power, that open to that love that comes from our Heavenly Father through Jesus that impacts our lives to flow through our lives to love one another, to let the Holy Spirit help us deal with our stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's what is I'm passionate about, and that's why I want to narrow the conversation, even though it's uncomfortable. I'll say this and I'll be quiet. Sin is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The conversation about sin is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But sometimes the process to growth is through uncomfortability. So when it comes to racism and bigotry and bias, it's an uncomfortable conversation because it hits us all in one form or another. But our white brothers and sisters, it hits right where we get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But God is ready to take us through.
Yeah.
But He wants us to respond.
Yeah. And that, you know, that idea of family and loving one another, my goodness, that's kind of biblical.
I think.
You know?
A little bit.
I mean, you go all the way back. I was thinking about that this morning as I was praying about, you know, what God might put on my heart to share. You go all the way back to that moment where Jesus is setting the disciples up to go through, you know, three days of hell, of uncertainty, of not knowing what is to come, and, you know, the death and the resurrection. And so that night, he washes their feet. He says to them, you know, I'm serving you. If you want to find life, serve one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have the encounter between Jesus and the one who would betray him. And, you know, Peter, Jesus saying, you're going to betray me. You know, all of that stuff. But then you have this short moment of challenge between Jesus and his disciples where Jesus says to them, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another. Now that if he stopped there, the disciples would have said, that's not new. I mean, that goes all the way back to love the Lord your God, you know, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor like you love yourself. I mean, those words are all over the place in Scripture. In fact, you know, Jesus said everything, the law and the prophets hinges on this. It's built on this. It feeds into love God and love your neighbor. So Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. But then the new part, he says after that, he says, as I have loved you.
Yeah.
So the standard is not even, you know, I mean, I love what you're saying about family, but the standard is not my family, how I love my family. You know, the standard is how Jesus loves me, how Jesus loves you. And that radical, sacrificial, I'm willing to go to the cross for you kind of love. I'm willing to go to the cross for you, not because I was wrong, not because you were right. I'm willing to go because of the Father's love for both of us.
Yes.
And then you go to the verses where all through the New Testament, all through the Old Testament, but all through the New Testament is this, you know, constant description from Paul and Peter and Jesus and, you know, the gospel writers of what does that love look like? Like you said, you know, from, I think, the Romans 12 passage of, you know, we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And I love what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there's one body, there's one Spirit, there's one hope. And then when Paul again says in Philippians 2, therefore, if you have, this one just grabs me because it goes to the heart of this whole kind of stupid discussion of, you know, should we say Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter? And Paul says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, if there's any common sharing in the Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion, if there's anything, you know, that is good that comes from your connection with Christ, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. And then here's the part. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Yeah. I mean, that's the working out of this love that is the new command where Jesus says, this is how people will know that you're my followers. If you have this kind of love, value others as being above yourself. So it's not Black Lives Matter. It's Black Lives Matter more. You know, it's your life matters more to me than my life matters to me. Yeah. That's the standard that Paul is writing about that comes from Christ. And if we would in the church, you know, and I'll speak to Calvary, I mean, it applies to all of us and we both know that, but speak to Calvary, say, if we would apply that standard of love, the radical sacrificial love of Christ.
Yeah.
To all of our attitudes and to all of our actions and how we view brothers and sisters of color and what we say to other people and what we do, I mean, it would just be different.
Yeah.
Right? Because right now we're doing it out of our own self-interest.
Yeah. There are two, I want to tag on to what you're saying. And first, you know, again, where our Lord is talking to us about love and how we love one another and recognizing who the one another's are.
Yeah.
But see, it's like you said, it's from the foundation of relationship.
Yeah.
And the foundation of that relationship is our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus.
Yeah.
And as we're coming and recognizing that this love comes from Him, and as we connect, as we truly have the revelation of our Father's love and heart, even demonstrated through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, then this is a point that came to me as you were sharing. The things that break His heart begin to break our heart.
Yeah.
And so when we see injustice in the world as God's children, because we love Him and we understand that God, this, what we see in the world, sometimes people, well, where is God in all this?
Yeah.
His heart breaks more than any of our hearts could ever break.
Yeah.
Because He didn't make us to hate one another.
Yeah.
He made us to celebrate one another. And in doing that, when He sees us taking the choice that He has given us and using our choice, we're not robots. He made us to choose. And that way we can even choose whether we serve Him.
Sure.
But when we take that choice and we use it to destroy each other based on the color of a man's skin, then it breaks his heart. But here is love when we're learning to love what you said. When the things that break our Father's heart, when we look out on the world, when the things that break His heart begin to break ours.
Yeah.
And then we can do all those other things that you were talking about. And one other point, just to give a context, because to some, especially with our white brothers and sisters. This term, Black Lives Matter, it can become a controversial term. But really quickly, understanding the context that it is said is not meant to be a coming against law enforcement or other. But when you to say all lives matter, which it is true, all lives matter to our God. But we have to understand that is said, that comment is made out of a lack of knowledge. It's made out of an assumption that all lives in our culture and in our world here in the United States and here in Happy Valley, that really all lives matter equally to everybody.
Yeah.
And see, if it were true that all lives mattered equally to everybody, then the phrase Black Lives Matter wouldn't be of necessity. But you see, for black lives, brown, yellow, red lives, but particularly in the history of our country, for black lives, our lives have not been on the equal playing field. Do you see? So our lives are such that you could drag us out in the street, or we were looked at as two-fifths of a human being.
Yeah.
Our lives were such that our families could be mistreated. You could hang us. And that mindset of our lives being, see, when you look at a person as less than, then that gives you the mental, emotional right to think that you can mistreat them,
yeah.
That you could devalue their being. And so the cry out is that our lives matter too. We are people made in the image of the living God. He loves us as much as he loves you and every other part of his. We are made in his image just like you. Our lives matter.
And I think, Harold, one of the things that breaks the heart of the Father in the church is that people of color shouldn't have had to been the ones to say that.
Right.
You know,
right.
If we were living our lives in the church with the radical sacrificial love of Jesus, living out what Paul said, to value others as above ourselves, that phrase should have come from the white church, not the black church.
Yeah.
You know, and instead, you know, we find ourselves kind of dickering mm-hmm. back and forth. Well, what does that really mean? Or is that political? Or is that this organization? When really it's, like you said, the cry of a people who have been marginalized, who haven't been loved, not even in the church in the same way.
Yeah.
And, you know, over when you're talking about what breaks a father's heart, I think over the course, ever since I found out I had COVID-19, so the Corona thing on. I mean, there's been some of this God's been doing in me before that, but it's really intensified and intensified again with what's been taking place with the racial issues and injustice and yeah, it's been emotional for me. There have been times where I feel like sometimes in the weirdest of times or just at the drop of a hat, like God grabs my heart and squeezes the tears out my eyes. And what I know, what I've come to realize, because there have been times where that's happened and I'm just going, God, what in the world is that? Where's that coming from? And it's not my heart. I don't have that kind of empathy on my own. You know, I don't have a big enough heart, a pure enough heart to kind of naturally experience that. But I have been feeling like there are times where God is just saying, I want to give you just a taste of my heart. I'm just going to let a little bit, you know, like it would kill us. You know, it would dissolve us to feel the totality of his heart broken for issues like this. But I do believe that if we're willing, you know, if we ask for it, if we let our hearts be soft, that he'll give us a taste. And that's what really begins to change it. I think that's been part of the, you know, the process, the process for me.
And, you know, Dan, I think in looking at this and being challenged, I hope you feel being challenged. I hope even if you're getting angry, that you still won't walk away, because the question is also, so if we are called and God is challenging us to address the racial disunity that is in the body itself, so that we can have that impact on the world that he wants us to have.
Yep, yep.
What do we do? Yeah. You know, you don't stir up dust to not do anything
with it. That's right.
And so I think what we sense that Holy Spirit is saying to us as the church, and I want to say as the whole church, as I mentioned, I've narrowed my focus a little bit to you, my white brothers and sisters, but what is God saying to us as white brothers and sisters in Christ? What is he saying to the church as a whole, including those of us who are people of color, those of us particularly in this exacerbated period of time who are of African descent, but all peoples of color?
Yeah, yeah.
What is he saying to us about dealing with and taking on the challenge of racism and bigotry and bias, that sin within our walls, so that we can have an impact against it beyond our walls? Yeah. So how would you see that?
Well, there's been a few things that have been helpful to me, part of my journey. I think I'd even step back first and put the what can we do into a scriptural framework and just say, I think one of my favorite prayers in all of Scripture is Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, that we would not lose heart, that we would be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be built upon, founded on, dive deep into the love of Christ that's beyond understanding, that we'd be filled with all the fullness that comes from God, and that we would know that God is the God who's able to do immeasurably more, beyond what we've asked for to this point and what we can even imagine. Mm-hmm. But then he says, and may glory be given to the Father through the church, through the church, as we are empowered by the Spirit and loving like Christ and filled with the fullness of the Father.
Yeah.
May glory be given to God through the church.
And through the
church. As we allow that power to work in us. And so I've talked at Calvary a number of times. I'll share this and then let you share some. And I got some other practical things too. But just about three postures. The posture of surrender. And I don't think we don't find the power of the Spirit without the posture of surrender, without giving up control. And I think in this whole issue of race, one of the things that holds us back is we want control. And we just won't find the power of the Spirit without that.
Yeah.
And the posture of vulnerability, which is saying, I need you probably more than you need me, and that... I think that's part of the love of Christ. That's part of what develops love and relationship. I'm not here to save you. I can't save you. Jesus has saved us both, but I need you. I need Harold McKenzie, Pastor Mac, to thrive at Unity. I need you in relationship to me. I need your prayers and Sharon's prayers, and we need each other. And then that posture of brokenness, that just says, what I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. If there's ever going to be glory given to the Father through the church, what I bring to the table is not my gifts and abilities. It's not my resources. It's not my politics. It's not my power. It's my desperate dependence on the hand of God, filling me up and overflowing. And so those three postures, I've been telling people at Calvary, look for places to surrender control. Look for places to be vulnerable and tell brothers and sisters of color, we need you. It's not even just I'm with you. I know that's part of it too. It's not even just I see. I need you, and to bring that posture of brokenness that says for this to change, I need to be desperately dependent on upon the Father.
Yeah, a scripture that stands out so, and I pray that the revelation of it will touch our hearts is. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yeah. We're such a familiar passage, but it's the Lord through the writing there says, if my people, and that we would recognize, truly he says, if my people will hear me and do this, I will bring healing to the land. And if you think of the power that is in that passage and that it would awaken in our hearts that we can, if we will listen to our Father and let him touch our hearts, we can impact the issues of racism and all the issues. We can impact sin in American culture. In Center County, we can. But it says, and so this awakening of our hearts says, if my people, that because, if we will listen to God's heart and the things that we're talking about today and beyond, that we can have an impact to bring healing in the church and beyond. And so I think that is such a powerful awakening scripture and that to it, there is a calling to come together. And I would say to my white brothers and sisters to again, coming to the charge, but also even those of us who are people of color, and that we would see that not, it's not a time to walk away from the table. It's not a time to let, even though it's humanly understandable to have bitterness and anger, hurt, fear, discouragement, just have a jaded attitude when it comes to whether or not the church can ever make any difference.
Yeah.
But you see, we're not talking about, as you mentioned too, we're not talking about our power.
Yeah.
But what will happen is we hear God and come together. We need to all come to the table together and say, how can we address this?
Yeah.
How can we look at this? I think first, to me, one of the most powerful action steps that we can, where we can take this beyond a conversation and put the feet. James teaches us so well. As he listens. He says, faith is great, but faith without Holy Spirit-led action.
Yeah, it's useless.
And so how can we take these things from conversations? And even if you're wondering, well, what can I do?
Yeah.
Well, first thing I can do is I can pray, all of us, white brothers and sisters of color, let us pray and say, Holy Spirit, show me any areas of my life where racism has had a negative impact, the kind of impact where our adversary Satan can come in and manipulate my life, bring disunity,
kill, steal, and destroy.
Right, to do what he does.
Yeah.
And that way he can show us if there's racism. He can show us where, because of having become victimized through systemic racism, bitterness is now become a tool of the enemy. And he, where he wants to bring healing and help us to heal each other. So I think that's one of the first things that
hearts of repentance.
Hearts of repentance, hearts that are available for God, the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee, I believe it with all my heart, Dan, that if we sincerely pray that prayer, Holy Spirit in so many different ways will show us, but also he will begin the, again, that healing process. So as we come in asking that question forthrightly to him. Lord, if, as a man of color, as a white brother in the Lord, what do you want to show me, Holy Spirit? And what do you want to do in my life? But then now, how can I step forward from there? And if I could just say this real quick, I think a couple of things that we can do beyond praying, I think begin to have look out and seek to have conversations. Don't depend, begin to educate. You mentioned the reading you have begun to do. Don't just depend, put the weight of both advocating, but also learning on people of color, but begin to learn real history. Go to resources that are genuinely authentic and speak in this in a non-biased way. I think also, begin to step up and have the conversations at home. Have them with your family.
That's good.
Have those conversations with
your
relatives.
Kids.
If you've got a family member, you know, those some of those people where off-color comments are made. Will you have the love of God enough to say, you know something, that's not right? Even if you used to think that way yourself. And I'm going to, there's probably one, let me just, well, real quick, I know we're crunched on time, and I think in my mind we've been doing pretty good, but I wanted to share, there's a group that actually spawned out of our two congregations called the Racial Unity Network, RUN for short. It is a Christ-centered group of brothers and sisters in Christ across races, white, black, it is across races, but have come together to say, how can we address racial unity in the body of Christ?
Yeah.
How can we address racial reconciliation in the body of Christ? And from that platform, reach out to the world.
Yeah.
And within it, we want, and if you're, we, you know, can make more information available, but there's one program I wanted to make everybody aware, particularly white brothers and sisters aware of. It's going to be happening next week on the 18th, and we'll, hopefully we can get some flyers out about it. But it's called Understanding Racism 101. And it's just going to be an open conversation about just beginning to understanding this issue more from a Christ-centered basis. And so those are some things that
you
can begin.
And it's put on by the run, people from the run team.
Yes, it's put on by the ECC, and I'm
it's one of the sub teams.
One of the sub teams. Katie, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm messing up the name, but I think that's a great place to start. Praying, beginning to learn, beginning to have conversation, and even taking advantage of opportunities like this.
Yeah. So at Calvary, we talk about three different pathways of growth: listen, learn, and lean in. And I would say, just echoing what you said, listen to people, listen to stories, watch a movie. You know, Just Mercy is free, I think, till the end of June. The Color of Compromise, the book that I talked about, if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch a documentary-type deal of based on the book on Amazon for free. I mean, there's so many resources out there. The Color Compromise was helpful for me. I'm Still Here by Austin Channing Brown, I think is her name, was great. There's just a number. So listen, learn, know our history, and then lean in. You know, study Jesus, study the Bible, study Jesus' application and vision of love. And apply that, you know, to your thoughts, your attitudes, your actions in this particular area. Judge your life according to that basis, and say, where do I have to change? That's part of leaning in. And then I think, like Harold said, part of leaning in is just prayer. I know Harold has as much, if not more, of a heart for that area for prayer than I do. And so I want to close our time together for. Oh, I would also say, for those of you at Calvary, if you have not yet signed up to be a part of our 40-day revive mission, 40 days of prayer and fasting, please go to calvarysc.org/revive and sign up. We're doing a daily assignment of praying this dry bones prayer and some of those prayer points, and then a weekly assignment. And this next week is such an appropriate week. The weekly assignment will be around this area of racial unity, racial injustice. And so go and sign up and be a part of that. But we're just going to close go ahead, Harold.
Before we do, I just want to, I believe so earnestly that if we will hear God, I believe it with all my heart, beloved, that if we will hear God as his children, and we will begin to wrestle, trusting him as he is telling us to, and come alongside his family and walk this out. Dan, I believe it with all my heart that we can see. I think this mountain stands before us, this giant, the giant of racism stands in our land, just like Goliath did in the days of David, defying the people of the living God and our God. But God, I believe with all my heart, Dan, if we will hear God and we will just take the step of faith, begin to let Holy Spirit help us to get uncomfortable a little bit.
Travail in prayer.
Travail in prayer and in work together.
Yeah.
We will see an impact.
Yeah.
I believe it with all my heart. And I want to encourage you as Dan begins to pray. Faith is all about believing God to do the big beyond things.
Yeah.
And so take this as a challenge and believe that you, if my people, that you can have an impact.
Yeah. It's great, Harold. Thank you. We're going to we're just going to close by praying. And I'm going to invite you. The words are going to be on the screen. I'm going to invite you. I gave Harold a copy too. Mm-hmm. So we can just pray together, say together the words of the dry bones prayer that we've been praying. And then I'm going to pray for the church body at large, but especially for my brothers and sisters at Unity. And then Harold's going to close us by praying for the church, the body at large, but Calvary folks especially, and then we'll be done. So let's say this together. Father God,
Father
you
God,
are the God yeah. of our valleys, and one day every valley will be filled with the knowledge of your glory. But God, today our valleys are full of bones. Our world and our communities, our neighborhoods and our church, and even my heart has bones. We are bringing you our bones. We're proclaiming your word over our bones. Father, we will be still and know that you are God. Jesus, you are the Lord of our storms. Spirit, you are the breath of God. And we are the light of the world. Nothing now can compare with our future glory. And nothing can separate us from your love. We are your family. And one day together, we will sit around your table. So breathe on us, breath of God.
Yes.
Fill us with life anew.
Yes, Lord.
We cry out to you, Spirit of God. We have nothing to give but dry bones.
Yes, Lord.
But our bones we are bringing. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew. That we might live for others, an army of healers, an army of healers bringing hope to the world, an army of life givers standing with and for others. Would you amaze us, Father? Would you amaze us, Jesus? Would you amaze us, Spirit of God? Fill our valleys with life. Revive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
We just pray. I pray for my brothers and sisters at Unity, for that part of the family of God. And God, I pray that you would pour your spirit out upon them. I pray that you would fill them with supernatural hope. God, I pray that you would exchange their weariness and mourning for the joy of the Lord that would be their strength. God, I thank you for them. I thank you for bringing each and every one of them to our communities, to Central PA, to our neighborhoods. God, I thank you for Pastor Harold and Sharon, and I pray that you would bless them in the work of their hands. And we pray together for the body of Christ spread throughout Central PA and beyond to the world. God, would you do a work in us? Would you help us to love Jesus as you have loved us? Would you help us to love others? Would you help us to love our family, the family of God, as you have loved us?
Father, I agree in faith with that prayer of my dear brother and dear friend, Dan. And I bless my brothers and sisters here at Calvary. I thank you that in this days where we're being challenged, you have a redemptive purpose and plan.
Yes, Lord.
A Romans 8:28 plan. And that we would just begin to see that you want us to be a part of that plan here as the body of Christ, as a part of the body of Christ. And I pray over every Christ-centered church here in our region, that we would see that you want us to be a part of your redemptive plan. And Lord, that you want us to come together over the issues of race, that you might work and bring healing in us, that we might come together as your children, that we might advocate as family, but then we might also let you transform us as brothers and sisters to see your love, and through seeing your love, to love one another, that our hearts would be touched with those things that are touching your heart. Yeah. I pray for our community, even on the heels of us even still trying to heal in the late wake of not only these current events, but even in this past year, Asazi Asage's death, and just racism in general. I, in the name of Jesus, speak life.
Yes, Lord.
Your healing life over our community.
Yes,
Jesus. It comes through us as we follow you and we walk in John 17:21. But also, Lord, even throughout our nation, that there will be a time, even as you, Dan mentioned over back in Minnesota, Father, that on that very corner where hate and death was magnified. You said where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And we pray in the name of Jesus, in and through the body of Christ, that grace would greatly abound to healing in our land. In and through the body of Christ and in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you, man.
Thanks, Harold. Love you, too.
It's good to be here today.
Great to be together. And do it again.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
See you, folks.
Bless you all.